From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. When it comes to state budget cuts, it's pick your poison. State parks, K-12 education, social services, higher ed. There aren't any good choices. Today on Forum, we explore what the impact of budget cuts will be on higher education, from the UC system to the state universities to community colleges. The scope of the problem is such that even if student fees are raised, the various systems still must grapple with budget cuts ranging from $300 to $400 million. What it means for California's higher education system and what it means for students, that's our topic next on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Whatever happened to the Year of Education? In case you forgot, that's what 2008 was supposed to be. But yawning budget gaps and a grim economy have put a big dent in those plans and promises. This morning on Forum, as part of our continuing series of programs looking at the impact of state budget cuts, we take up today what the impact will be on higher education. First, a quick recap of how we got here. With the state taking in less revenue from sales, personal, and corporate income tax, this winter the state faced a huge $14 to $16 billion deficit. In February, lawmakers took the first step to chopping down some of that looming gap, but a huge deficit still remains. The governor has proposed cutting all state agencies across the board by 10%, and the state's higher education system would not have much of a pretty picture as a result. Cuts ranging in terms of hundreds of millions of dollars, proposed increased student fees, and community colleges less able to serve their students, all consequences of some of the proposed cuts. In the view of California State University challenger Charles Reed, quote, "We are heading down the road to funding and building world-class prisons and second-class universities." This morning, we're going to talk about what the proposed cuts would mean to the higher education system, to its faculty, to its students, and about what higher education advocates argue can be done now in response. Joining us for our conversation this morning, Chancellor Diane Woodruff. She leads the California Community College System. Chancellor Woodruff, good morning.
Good morning.
Here, too, is Rory Hume. He's the provost for the University of California system, in effect, the COO of that system. Provost Hume, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
And joining us as well, Chancellor Charles Reed, who leads the California State University system. Chancellor Reed, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, let's take a big picture look at this first, and then we'll sort of pin it back as we can sort of in each of your systems. But starting with the UC, Provost Hume, give us the broad brush look at if these cuts were to go through, over $400 million for the University of California in particular, what does that mean?
I'll answer as your request for the UC system, but I believe it means the same thing for each of the sectors of public higher education. It means an enormous damage to access opportunity for Californian families, for Californian young people, for Californians all through their lives. We have an amazing system of public higher education in California, where anybody has access at any time of life to the finest education in the world. And that opportunity will be damaged by these cuts.
So in a sense, am I beginning by asking the wrong question? Is the better question not what it will do to you, Provost of the UC? It's all interconnected?
It's the wonder of the California system is that the community colleges, the great California state system, and UC are intimately interconnected. It was a brilliant plan conceived in 1965, which we still have intact today. And we don't want to see that put at risk. This has made a great economy and a great state in those 40 years.
Chancellor Reed.
Charles Reed. You know, the systems are at risk, as Provost Hume says. But what's even at a bigger risk is the economy of the state of California. If these three great university systems don't feed the economy with the workforce that they need, with the research that they need, with the technical skills that it needs, then California will no longer be as competitive as it's been in the past. And you're going to see personal income start to drop in California, and that'll be devastating to our economy and to the citizens of this state.
There's an irony, Chancellor Woodruff, and speak to this from your point of view, that in the time of increasingly great concern about the state of the economy, not only in California, but around the country, obviously, as well, that we may be cutting that which would help the economy most.
That's exactly right. We in higher education, all three segments, feel we are positioned and eager to help our state improve its fiscal condition, because we know that for every dollar that the state invests in us in higher education, they get a $3 return in on their investment as the educated workers go out and get jobs and pay taxes. So we are what will turn this economy around. You're not going to, if you invest in prisons, you're not going to turn the economy around. But if you invest in higher education, you will see this economy turn around. And as Provost Hume said, we are inextricably bound up together. One-third of all the UC graduates are community college transfers, and two-thirds of all the CSU grads are community college transfers. And when Chancellor Reed has to cut back 10,000 students, then it impacts us, because our students then can't transfer. And as Provost Hume said, our whole wonderful master plan for higher education starts to unravel, and that is why the three of us have come together and are saying so strongly, please don't dismantle this wonderful higher education system that is the envy of the world. All of us have had people from other countries and other states come to see us to say, how have you done this? How have you built this higher education system that has created the eighth largest economy in the world in California?
Chancellor Diane Woodruff, who leads the California Community College System. So, Provost Hume, you're in it together no matter what. There's no going to the legislature in Sacramento or to the governor and sort of lobbying on behalf of the University of California. It's lobbying for all three?
None at all. Public higher education is at risk here. Any damage to the community colleges damages UC, it damages Cal State. Any damage to Cal State damages UC. Together we provide an extraordinary service, opportunity, and, as my colleagues have said, phenomenal feedback and stimulus to an economy.
I'm sure even the governor, if he were here today, would say, absolutely true, the system is crucial to the future of our state, but we don't have any choices. We don't have enough money, and you can't sort of exclude higher education and apply the budget cuts that are necessary, I'm sure he would argue, just to everywhere else. How do you respond to that? Because they're not great choices here.
Dave,
Chancellor Reed, go ahead.
I'll respond to that. What California needs to do and what the political leadership in California needs to do is to step back and say, what we have to do is we know we can reduce the budget by a certain amount, but surely not $16 or $18 billion. And on the other account, our economy is sick. And so we've got to take some medicine in California. And anybody that's taken medicine knows that sometimes it doesn't taste very good, but it's going to make you well. And that medicine is to raise some new additional revenue to help California get better. So it has to be a combination of cuts and revenue increases for California in order for this state's economy to get well.
Have you come to a number, Chancellor Woodruff, that you believe sort of evens out the difference as Chancellor, as you're describing? Is there a way that you can say, all right, $300 million is too much, but we can live with $100 million and therefore we'll have to up taxes by X amount? Have you crafted a proposal, a specific solution?
No, we have not crafted such a proposal. But another thing that we are saying, the Legislative Analyst Office, in looking at the proposed budget, is saying, it doesn't make sense that the state doesn't look at some things being higher priority than others to make these across-the-board 10% cuts, because then you're saying that one thing isn't more valuable than another. And we just will argue that the state, as Chancellor Reed said, cannot afford to not invest in education, because otherwise our whole economy will continue on a downward spiral. And we are the only thing that I think can really pull us back out of that.
So are you prepared to argue, Provost Hume, that there really should be differential cuts, that the Parks Department or the Social Services or K through 12 should get a bigger hit than higher education?
No, I don't want to make that case. I believe choices will have to be made, and certainly I will present the best arguments that I can for the value of the investment in the University of California. I agree absolutely with Chancellor Reed. I think that revenue enhancements have to be part of this equation. Each of us works extremely efficiently. Each of us will do everything we can to save money internally. We know we'll have to. But there is a point where true damage to the economy happens because of damage to our opportunity to educate and create the research for the future of California.
Do you have a sense, any of you, Chancellor Reed, I'll go to you first on this, of whether or not there's an appetite for that? There rarely is in Sacramento for increasing taxes. Do you have any sense about your ability to win that argument?
Dave, somebody's going to have to use some common sense around California's future. I mean, California is a crossroads. You know, are we going to spiral downward and see personal income in California decline? Are we going to see our health care decline, our neighborhoods decline, our K through 12 education system decline? And I don't think that we can afford that. And so therefore, as I said, nobody likes to do it, but you have to take some medicine every once in a while to get better. And I think that that's where a consensus has to be built around, you know, what are the different revenue options available in California to help make it get better.
We want to fold into our conversation now two students to get a student perspective on all of this and then talk more broadly about what some of these impacts mean at a very specific level in terms of class size, opportunities, majors, all that kind of thing. So joining us now to get a bit of a perspective on that from a student point of view are Robert Valdez, he's a student at Berkeley Community College, and Jesse Bernal, who is a student at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and also active within the University of California Student Association. Thanks both very much for joining us. Give us a sense, first of all, from each of your campuses as how students are feeling about this potential. Jesse Bernal first.
Sure. On our campus, I think we have a lot of involvement with administration through a budget strategy group, and we've really been looking at various ways that cuts are going to affect our campus specifically. I think we're all really in a sort of depressed state that we have to be making these decisions between vital programs, between faculty programs and academic core programs, as well as student service programs, and having to really weigh the cost of each of those and essentially recommend cuts to some things that we really care about. And so it's been a tough last few months, but it's something that students are really willing to work with administration in negotiating some sort of middle ground that really is best for everybody.
And what are you seeing, Jesse Bernal, as some of the potential cuts at your campus at UC Santa Barbara?
You know, we haven't talked about specific things yet. We know that overall that funding for additional funding for things like student mental health and some outreach programs isn't on the table anymore, or has actually been talked about being pulled off the table. I know we've been working with the Office of the President to really secure funding for student mental health and some other programs, but any increases that we would have liked to have seen for academic prep programs is really unrealistic at this point, and that's something that's really really saddening for us, I think.
Jesse Bernal, a student at UC Santa Barbara. Robert Valdez, from the community college student perspective, what are you hearing? What are you worrying about? How do you see this affecting your future?
Well, we at the community college were, I would say we're rather upset about this. We've had a lot of like student activity, a lot of student organized stuff. Last week we had like an open mic event with the topic was what my education means to me and if I were to lose it. And we had, you know, students of all backgrounds getting up there speaking. They had a few minutes each and it went really well. But yeah, we're pretty we're pretty upset with the situation.
What does it mean to you personally, Robert? What are you seeing? What do you think may happen if some of these cuts go through?
Well, personally, like, I know I require financial aid to go to community college. I rely on programs like EOPS, which is an equal opportunity program. These are the things that are going to be, like, you know, affected seriously in the future. In fact, we're already seeing some effects. Stuff like larger classes, fewer teachers, you know, those are pretty big. But it's also looking at, though the estimates are that it's going to shut out 50,000 new students next semester. That's quite a large number, especially when you consider the state of the economy, and that now is when people, you know, tend to come to the community college and looking for the credentials and the, you know, the education they need to be competitive on the job market.
Robert Valdez, a student at Berkeley Community College, joining us along with Jesse Bernal, a student at UC Santa Barbara. Robert and Jesse, stay with us. We'll come back to you. But I thank you for laying the groundwork in terms of how you see this as students who are part of the system. And let's widen this back out again and talk about the impact on students. Chancellor Woodruff first from the community college. You heard Robert just talking about the fact that what he has heard, at least, is that this may mean that some 50,000 students would not be served by the community college system should these cuts go through as proposed. Is that an accurate estimate? It's what I've read as well. Walk us through how this may play out for the Roberts of the world.
Yes, he is exactly right. We estimate that more than 50,000 students will not be able to get the classes they need to either transfer or to graduate and go out into the workforce. But actually, the impact is going to be felt by all 2.6 million of our students, because we're an open access institution, and unlike UC and CSU, we can't actually prevent students from enrolling. But what happens is, once students are admitted, they can't get the classes they need. And so it's very frustrating for them and for us.
So they'll be essentially students in name only. They'll be on your campus. They'll be enrolled, but they won't be able to really go to class?
They won't be able to get the classes they need. And then that makes our whole system inefficient, because we can't transfer those students because they can't get that last few courses they need to transfer. They can't go out into the workforce to become taxpayers. So it's very, very frustrating for us, and he's exactly right about the impact.
So an example of the kind of ripple effect, how what affects one institution affects the other. Chancellor Reed from the CSU system, talk about what the difference is going to mean for students at your 23 campuses.
Well, Dave, we have closed our admissions to the California State University effective March the 1st. So we know that we will be turning away more than 10,000 students that would be normally eligible to come to the California State University. We can't offer the number of classes and sections and at the same time take over a $300 million cut to our budget. So we had to decide when to close our admission, and that was as of March the 1st for the first time in college freshman students. So now what's going to happen is many of those students are going to register or try to go to a community college, and just what the chancellor said there, they're not going to be able to get the classes and the sections that they want. But we can't take more students than we can serve, because it's not just offering classes and sections. You have to provide student services. You have to provide counseling. You have to provide access for these students to the library and to the laboratories and things like that. So it's important to take care of the students that you have.
And Provost Hume, for the University of California, what I've read is that you're going to continue to try to take as many students who are eligible for your system as possible. How then will that work? If you keep taking all the students that are eligible, what sort of UC will they really be attending?
We had to make that decision this year. It was an extraordinarily difficult situation for us to be in. Students who've worked hard to meet our eligibility criteria, we have always offered a place to. And this was very late in the day to change the rules on those students and those families.
And that's the history and mission of the UC. That's part of the plan. That's part of how it's always been.
Absolutely. If you make the standards we set, we offer you a place at one of our campuses. It might not be the campus of your first choice. What it's going to mean, though, because the funding is not following the students at a sufficient level, and of course we still don't know what funding we will get this year. We're going to work as hard as we can to get as much money as we can. It will mean larger classes, larger sections, less access to majors, longer time to degree, and as Chancellor Woodruff said, a much less efficient system. We're wonderfully efficient now by national standards at taking the brightest kids that we can and moving them through into productive lives to contribute to the economy. That'll become much less efficient and much more expensive for them as individuals. If it takes them 5 years to graduate instead of four, they've got to pay all of the living costs that they've got. And for students, that's a terrific burden compared with very limited income. So this is a grave threat to the efficient use of a wonderful resource.
So it sounds like there'll be places at the table in some of your institutions, at least at the UC and at the community college system, Chancellor Woodruff. There'll be places at the table. There just won't be anything on the table to serve. Is that right?
That's correct. And not only not the classes, but as Robert said, many of our very important services are being cut, which affect the most educationally vulnerable students. The program that he is in, EOPS, he mentioned, these we estimate about 100,000 students won't get the help they need when they're failing and faltering. There won't be counselors there to help them. There won't be tutors there to help them. So this is a very terrible situation.
So, Robert, if those programs went away, the extra support that you're getting, the equal opportunity support in particular, does that mean in practical purposes that you would not be able to continue as a community college student?
Well, personally, I'm also a veteran, so I'm going to school on the GI Bill.
Hmm.
So I can ride that for the next year or so. But I can't live on that alone. It's not a whole lot of money, especially living in the Bay Area where I live. So I would definitely have to get a job, and that would mean, you know, sacrifice some schooling. And it would be a definite loss.
And Jesse Bernal at UC Santa Barbara, one of the possibilities here, the governor's recommended at least, is a substantial increase in fees at both the UC level and at the CSU level. Community college fees are actually established by the legislature. But how worried are students about fees going way up and pricing themselves out of a UC education?
Right. You know, that's always been our top concern and big priority for the UC Student Association. I think the statistics we have is that undergraduate student fees have risen 86% since 2002, and it has a horrific toll on our students. Just as Provost Hume was mentioning, the increased expense due to increase of time to degree, the increased expense due to just fee increases year to year is pretty extensive. I know personally, like, I've had to leave school twice now because I can't afford to continue, and now I'm working full-time to try to finish my degree. And students are also concerned about the governor's proposal to phase out competitive Cal grants and the impact that will have on some of our needy students as well. So it's definitely a real concern, and it's something that will impact students next year and years to come.
Jesse Bernal, a student at UC Santa Barbara, Robert Valdez at Berkeley Community College. Thanks both for adding your perspectives. We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls and emails on this subject, what you think about in terms of the future of the higher education system here in California, why it matters, what might be done in order to preserve the system that we do have. Here's the number if you want to join our conversation. It's 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour, how proposed budget cuts may affect the higher education system in California, the UCs, the California State University System, and community colleges as well. We welcome your participation in our conversation. Join us now at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. Our guests include Chancellor Diane Woodruff, who leads the California Community College System, Rory Hume, who's provost for the University of California system, and Chancellor Charles Reed, who leads the California State University system. Chancellor Reed, let's pick up on what our two students were talking about in terms of their concerns, the very real and specific concerns about student fee increases. from the Cal State University perspective, what are you looking at? Because even if you do boost your fees, you're still going to have big budget cuts. It's not like boosting fees will take care of the problem, right?
That's right. If we increase our fees approximately 10%, we will still be taking about a $300 million budget cut. And, you know, one of the things that's occurring is students are seeing fee increases, and they're getting less for what they're paying for. And that's not fair to students either. The state of California is not doing its part to support higher education. And it does take a combination of student fees, the state, and the universities going out on their own and raising private funds. So it's kind of a three-legged stool that we need to have for stability. And the students are the ones that are now paying more and getting less.
What's your sense of this, Provost Hume? You work with various student committees and organizations. How close to the edge, I guess, is this making it for students to be able to continue to have this golden dream of what California higher education has traditionally provided?
The golden dream is pretty tarnished, unfortunately. For most of our students, work is essential. And for many of them, up to 20 hours a week, it's not uncommon at all for students to work that much. And to carry a full course load so they can be efficient and move through quickly, and in addition be generating substantial additional money at what are often quite low-wage jobs, puts enormous strain on these young people. You heard Jesse Bernal talking about the need for counseling services, looking after student mental health. The needs are much higher now than they were a decade ago. The stress that students are put upon by this circumstance, the unloading of responsibility from the state onto individuals, is making it extraordinarily hard for young people.
And are those the kind of things, Provost Hume, that are likely to go first? I mean, if you have to make cuts, is it those sort of things that are typically called sort of support services? Is that what will fall off the table most quickly?
No. I've just come from 3 days of Regents meetings and where I presented and the Regents endorsed that our highest priority was to look after counseling services for students, that higher than anything else, because we must care for the people in our community.
Let's get to our callers who want to participate. Chancellor Reed, go ahead. Yeah.
Things that are going to get cut first are things like maintenance and repair of our facilities. The improvement of our technical equipment, adding to our libraries. Those are the things that suffer when you first start to cut the budget.
Segun is our first caller from Hayward this morning. Go ahead, please.
Hello, I'm a student at Cal State East Bay, and my situation is, in the last 3 years, I've noticed that there's been increasing protests from students and lobbying efforts. However, and I've noticed that the community colleges have been extremely supportive of this process. At the same time, we've seen the chancellor's office, in a way, basically blackball or not even lend effort to these movements, allowing the CFA, which is the California Faculty Association, to basically spearhead the efforts. Even in the situation at our school currently, we've been told that the president's office is not to help. They're there for informational purposes only.
So, Sagan, just so that I'm clear, what you're talking about are the various protests that have been mounted in the past on behalf of faculty and staff to get higher wages at the Cal State system?
There's been actual lobbying efforts for the fee increases that have been continuing happening at the schools. Every year there's some type of budget issue that takes place in Sacramento, and there's an issue with student fees increasing. We've just seen another 10% increase on our fees alone. That was passed before this last year.
And so, your worry is that this isn't being supported enough by the administration?
It wasn't really an effort from the administration until just recently.
Okay.
And that's the issue.
All right, Sagan, thanks. Chancellor Reed, you want to respond?
We now have formed a coalition between all of our labor unions, the faculty, the staff, the trades, our presidents, our trustees, the chancellor's office, to all work together. We're holding budget summits on all 23 of our campuses so that everybody is informed of the consequences of the cuts and also the problems with raising fees. And so we have been working together now since December to focus on this. And I think for the first time in my 10 years, everybody in the CSU is a part of this effort.
Tiffany in San Mateo is next. Tiffany, you're on.
Yes, thank you. I'm a student at San Francisco State, and for every year I've been there, I have been paying more and more to attend. I have friends who can't graduate because they can't get the classes that they need, and I have professors who can't even give exams in class because their department budget doesn't allow them to make photocopies. Yet while we're facing all these cuts, even before the large cut that's being passed down right now, I see administrators getting raises who are allowed to have large travel stipends and living expenses, yet we're still paying more and receiving less. And I just want to know kind of the explanation for this and how this is justified.
Tiffany, thank you. Thanks for the call. It's addressed specifically at CSU, but let's broaden it out and let you each respond to that, because it's a concern that's often heard in these circumstances. How come students, faculty, staff are bearing the brunt of these cuts? Administrators are doing just fine. Chancellor Woodruff, work us through that from the community college perspective first, and we'll go around the table on it.
I don't think it's a problem in our segment. We have our administrators aren't getting any raises along with everyone else because we are so underfunded. So that's my response from our system.
Chancellor Reed.
Well, the administrators in the California State Universities are 37% behind their market share. This past year, we made a large adjustment for our faculty who deserve to be paid more because we're asking them to do more. And so it's a vicious cycle out there, but you do have to reward people for all the hard work that they're putting in.
This has been an issue, particularly in some ways, at the University of California level. Provost Hume, obviously outgoing President Dines, worked with this problem and got into various degrees of hot water because of extra perks going to various faculty and administrators. The fairness question, though, that Tiffany raises, respond to that, that sort of gut feeling of students, wait a minute, we're not getting the classes we want, teachers aren't able to make Xerox copies, and the bigwigs are getting the money.
We work hard to make our administration as lean as possible, and as you say, we had some challenges a couple of years ago that we've addressed, I believe, extremely well. One of the interesting experiences that I had a couple of years ago was to hear a departing student body president say that the two memories that she would carry with her into the world were being in a class of 500 for English 1, but getting a lecture from a Nobel Prize winner. And those things unfortunately go together. We do have to compete for the best people. We drive the California economy in many ways. We have to have the finest people in healthcare, the finest people. And people compete for those people. We need superb researchers to solve the problems in biofuels and energy. And if we want Californian industry to benefit from that, we need to be competitive for those people.
But I think Tiffany is also saying that administration in particular should set an example, perhaps, to say in this sort of time we're not going to take particular raises. Tiffany didn't raise that point, but I suspect that's the heart of what she's feeling, that administration should bear the brunt of this too.
I'm laying people off right now, we've just reduced our budget by 20% in order to contribute as best we can to this challenge. So that's what we're doing.
Mike in San Francisco. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, yeah. I wanted to bring another dimension to this debate because I feel like while the UC system has been addressed, that's mostly been in regard to the undergraduate institutions. I'm a member of I'm a student at UCSF, which is a professional school. And I think the professional schools specifically are feeling a lot of the squeeze of these budget cuts because traditionally the UC public professional schools were a great way to get a professional education, whereas compared to private school, whereas these days the cost difference is not even significant. And what I have a feeling that will lead to is a reduced impact in public health in future years, where practitioners won't be able to go into the field of public health and serve the underserved because of the loans that they're needing to take out in order to bear the brunt of this
Mike, are you a medical student?
I'm a dental student.
Dental student. All right, Mike. Thank you. Thanks for the call. It's a problem, is it not, Provost Hume, that fees, particularly in some of the professional schools at Bolt and Hastings in the area of law, for example, have gone way up.
Yes, it certainly is, Dave. And Mike raises a very, very important point that as we struggle to compete with actually the great privates, Mike is at UCSF, which is the best dental school in the country. As we struggle to keep faculty there so that they're not drawn away to the great private competitors, we have to find the revenue sources. We are as efficient as possible. And actually, I used to work in that school, so I know the issues well. And Mike, bless you for wanting to enter a public health career. We do try to develop loan forgiveness programs for students who commit to public service careers. And at Bolt, which is, again, one of the nation's finest law schools, as we regrettably had to increase fees in order to keep that place strong and competitive and serve California with the best possible lawyers we can create, we also created a system of loan forgiveness for people who would commit to public service careers.
I want to come back to the issue that you raised initially, Chancellor Reed, I believe, which is if we're going to find our way out of this in a way that is not going to hurt people in the way we just heard from Mike or our other students or the university system as a whole, we're going to have to raise taxes. But John writes in, one of your panelists claims that raising taxes will make California better, but most economists would say that raising taxes during a recession makes the economy worse. Chancellor Reed?
Yes. Dave, I think you have to look at California's economy. There has been a shift, a sea change in its economy from a goods that are being taxed to a service economy, which doesn't contribute very much back to the state from a revenue standpoint. So I think that there's an opportunity to look at services, accounting services, legal services. I could go on down the line. And I think that's kind of the future of California. And California needs to look at that and say, do we need to collect some revenue from the new economy of California and have it benefit the rest of the state?
Alan is next. Pasadena. Go ahead, Alan.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
My wife and I both, over 20 years ago, came through the system. My wife graduated from LA City College, went on to get her master's degree as a nurse practitioner. I've gone on to work in the entertainment business. We've had a very successful career by using the system. The irony for us is that now we're using 50% of my wife's income to have our daughter opt out and be in private school because the system is so abjectly broken, particularly through the K-12. And I just think that further cuts, it's just going to hurt us even more.
Alan, thanks for the call and the observation. Community college graduate, Chancellor Woodruff, and worries also that the cuts that are also happening at the K-12 level, we've talked about how you're all interconnected at the higher ed level, but do you see that connection too, that if K-12?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely support and really want to invite Jack O'Connell to join with us in some of these talks with the community because, again, we are all bound up together in education. If they don't have the funds to get their graduates in and through, or if they come to us unprepared because they don't have sufficient resources, then we all lose. So we definitely do not support the cuts that are being proposed to the K-12 system. They are part of our education, one of our educational partners.
Bruce is up next in Mountain View. Bruce, good morning.
Hi, my name is, you already said my name. I wanted to comment and ask, basically one of the things I've been seeing, I'm a graduate student in chemistry, is that...
And where do you go to school, Bruce?
I go to school at San Jose State.
Okay.
And I've been seeing that not only for me, it took me 7 years to get my undergraduate degree because I changed majors once, but I had incredible difficulty getting into classes. One semester, I only went to calculus classes until I got my class, and then I went back and then asked all my instructors, you know, can I get into this class? I know I haven't been attending for 2 weeks, but I really need to take this class as well. Because all I did is go from 7:30 in the morning till 5:30 at night, calculus classes all day long, just so I could get into one.
So Bruce, your observation is that this is not a prospective problem we're talking about. It's something that's been going on for a while at a CSU campus?
I'm going to a state school, so it's not CSU. But I do see it as a problem in that time to graduate is getting longer and longer. It's no longer 4 years to get a four-year degree. It's 5 years, 5.5 years to get a four-year degree, and 6 and 7 years for some students that decide that they would like to change majors or something like that, or see a new calling and then go towards that instead of whatever they started out as.
Bruce, thank you. Thanks for the call and the observation. Chancellor
Reed.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, we need to put in perspective the University of California, the California Community College System, and the CSU, just 3 or 4 years ago, went through horrendous cuts. The CSU took a $500 million cut between 2002 and 2005. So, you know, this is occurring on a 5-year cycle instead of a 10-year cycle. And when you cut that much out, then those kinds of things that Bruce just said are going to occur. That happened to all of us. Now, and this cut is piled on top of that.
So it's going to make everything worse, even worse, if we have to sustain these cuts.
We welcome your calls as we continue our conversation with Chancellor Diane Woodruff, Chancellor Charles Reed, and Provost Rory Hume about the state of higher education and the impact of our proposed cuts that are before the state legislature now. The number, if you want to join our conversation, is 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us your thoughts at forum@kqed.org. Provost Hume, when you heard Bruce talking about his experience at San Jose State and the length of time that he had to go there, is that part of it? Tell us what the consequence of that will be. I don't know if the same sort of phenomenon occurs at UC campuses, but if as things get stretched out like that, it sounds like an annoyance, it sounds like a hardship, but what are the consequences of not being able to get the class that you want?
For students, it means substantial additional expense because they have to support themselves for a longer period of time before they can move off to full-time work in the workforce. For us, it means larger class sizes. It means much heavier loads on our teachers. With reduced budgets, we have less teaching assistants, so our professors are more heavily engaged. We don't lower our standards. We maintain all of the quality that we must, and all of our sectors do that. But it makes us much less efficient, much less effective at delivering what the California economy needs and what individual needs in California.
Once upon a time, back in 2004, there was a deal, right, between the state's higher education system, governor, legislature, about the kind of support that the three systems would continue to receive in order to grow at a reasonable amount. Can you just go back to the legislature, the governor, and say, well, what about that deal, Provost Hume? Or does everyone recognize that, you know, that deal was good for a period of time, no longer matters?
I'd love to hear my colleagues comment as well. But for us, that was meant to be a floor, but we've just been threatened to move way down through the floor.
Yeah. Chancellor Woodruff.
We actually weren't part of the compact. It was just with UC and CSU because we're part of Prop 98 funding.
That's right. Okay, Chancellor Reed.
Well, I agree with Rory. This was to provide a floor for CSU and UC to plan its future so that we could continue to provide access to these students so that we could continue to produce California's future workforce. And so that's going to get disrupted when, you know, the revenue is not there to fund this floor.
But was there an out in that deal? I don't recall the specifics of it. Was there so that there isn't anything binding about it, Chancellor Reed?
It's not binding because the legislature is who has the last say in appropriating the money to all of state government.
Robert in Sonoma is going to join us next. Robert, you're on.
Yes. Good afternoon, or good morning.
Good morning.
The reason why I was calling is that in listening to it, and as a private college graduate, you know, and just looking at the best and the brightest that are on the air right now with your guests, we need suggestions, I think, looking at revenue sources, or we're going to just keep repeating the cutting services side. And that's that's what we've been having for, as mentioned earlier, by the cyclical economic downturns that we've had. And then the first thing, or one of the few things that's looked at is, well, let's cut the education side, particularly at CSU or at the UC level. And perhaps, you know, with the people that you have on air, let's look at the opportunity of increasing the revenue side. Perhaps that's not going to be such that it'll, you know, bring out everyone against raising taxes, but sources that aren't being tapped perhaps right now.
Well, Robert, I think the guests all are actually in support of raising taxes to help with this problem. As a taxpayer, I'm curious about how you'd respond to that. Do you think that's a winnable argument in the state of California right now, that taxes need to go up in order to support higher education?
No, I don't think it's a winnable argument. That's why I'm saying, I guess, I'm looking for a replacement of revenues. Perhaps sources that, you know, was mentioned earlier that, you know, the economy's turned towards a service economy more than a goods economy. And I would concur with the commentator that made that perhaps those are being untapped, but not in a manner that's not fair to the rest of the population and the services that are required. Now, I do think that, you know, the education system requires parents and the people attending, the whether it's adult children or returning students, et cetera, to contribute. But it doesn't have to be put entirely on the shoulders of the students.
Robert, thanks. Thanks for the call and observation. Any thoughts, anyone, about alternative sources of creative sources of revenue, if you can't make, for a moment, that argument that you can't make the tax argument? Chancellor Woodruff.
The Legislative Analyst Office came up with some, I think it was $2.5 million dollars of sources of revenues, tax loopholes that could be closed that I think that the legislature needs to look at. That's certainly one possible source, because she's an expert in looking at all those things, and I think that would be definitely one thing I would put on the table.
Elizabeth in San Mateo is next. Elizabeth, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a comment about whether anyone is considering utilizing some of the waste in the system to help pay for some things that are more important. I'm acquainted with a person who used to be a contractor for the state of California for buildings and grounds, and it could cost an extra $500 to change a light bulb because he was required to go to a specific warehouse, get a specific light bulb, and go back to change it. Things like that seem to me to be just silly.
Elizabeth, thanks. How are each of you trying to sort of screen through the various costs that you have, whether it's for $500 light bulbs or whatever it happens to be, Rory Hume, so that you can be as lean and mean in this circumstance as possible?
We do that on our individual campuses very aggressively. We're looking for the economies that can come from the collective needs, common services that can be delivered. We are negotiating with the state to simplify requirements that are put upon us by state legislation. I actually moved into system-wide administration in the recession of the early 90s by serving on a committee that was to do exactly the same thing, to try and streamline the constraints that the state puts upon us because they fund us in part. We've got very smart and creative people working on those things. That can help at the margins, mm-hmm. but it can't help with the core problem. The core problem is too low a level of investment by the people of California in the future of California.
Well, we only have a few minutes, so let's have you each make your best arguments for that, for not only why it's important, but convincing the people who are listening to this program why they ought to be willing to ante up, if that's indeed what it takes, to maintain this interconnected system that you've all described. Chancellor Woodruff first.
Well, I would just say that you know, our businesses know that in order for us to compete in this world economy, we have to invest in education because it's critical to maintain a competitive workforce. And they're telling us, you know, we have to invest. It's an invest or die world. And I think it's the same thing for our state. We have to invest in education to turn this economy around. The days when a high school education and diploma was sufficient to secure a high-wage job are over. We know that today's jobs require education beyond high school, and we are positioned and eager to help our state improve its fiscal condition. We just need to have the resources to get us through this crisis.
And Chancellor Reed, speak to the taxpayers listening to this program about why they ought to be willing to pay more for this system.
Well, Dave, where Chancellor Woodruff started, if the state invests a dollar, we return $3 to the state. That's an incredible return on investment. In addition to people who graduate from universities making more money, we also know that intrinsically, people who get college degrees have better child-rearing practices. Their communities get more given back to them. We know people who have degrees commit less crime. We know people have better health practices, better nutrition. So, you know, all of those things are investments in California's future.
Provost Hume, a last word.
Of course, I agree absolutely with my colleagues about those things. I want to highlight the additional benefit that the research that is done by these three sectors working together makes a phenomenal difference, not to the, just to the California economy. We leverage every research dollar we get from the state by six with industrial or federal money. So we bring in enormous amounts of money more, leveraging the state money. But it makes an enormous difference to agriculture, to health, to biotech, to telecom. When we solve the problems about energy and the environment, it'll come through the research that the University of California and Cal State and the community colleges have done for the people of this state.
Provost Rory Hume, Provost of the University of California System. Provost Hume, thank you. Thanks for being part of our program this morning.
Great pleasure.
Chancellor Diane Woodruff was with us as well from the California Community College System. Chancellor Woodruff, thanks. And Chancellor Charles Reed from CSU. Chancellor Reed, thank you. Forum is produced by Tina Lauerberg and Kevin Guillory, our senior editor Dan Zoll, our engineer Jim Bennett, executive producer Raul Ramirez. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.